My text this morning is from Psalm 119, verse 142. The psalmist writes to the Lord, "Your law is always true." God's laws are true for the whole of life, for all our thoughts, words, and actions, our every moment. Consider the Ten Commandments and how comprehensive they are. The first three commandments deal with God and our worship of God. They tell us that there is no other God that we should have. They also tell us not to make any carved image or idol. And they say to us that we should not take the Lord God's name in vain. The fourth commandment is about our personal health. We should observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We should rest on that day, and all our family should also rest. The fifth day is about our family. We should honour our mother and our father. And the remaining five commandments are about our relationship with other people. They prohibit murder, adultery, theft, coveting other people's belongings, and giving false evidence against other people. And so God's laws are not just for Sunday, but every day of the week. And we should remember and obey God, not just in our worship and in our prayers, but also in our leisure activities at work and at home. And we should remember and obey God, not just in the church fellowship, but also in our family, with our friends, and in the wider community. God's laws apply not just to what we might call a religious life, but also to the secular life. When we turn to the New Testament, we see that some of God's laws have been superseded. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. The fourth commandment tells us to keep the Sabbath day holy and to rest on it. Now, the Sabbath day is the Saturday. God made the world in 6 days, and on the Sabbath he rested, and so we too are to rest. But for us, Christians, our holy day isn't the Sabbath, but rather the Sunday, the Lord's Day. That's the day on which God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we no longer observe the Sabbath, the Saturday, but rather we observe the Lord's Day, the Sunday. But what we have kept is the principle, the idea, the importance of having a day of rest. If you read Leviticus chapter 11, you will find that the Israelites were prohibited to eat certain foods, and they included the camel, the badger, the hare, and the pig. Now, why the Israelites were prohibited to eat these foods, we're not sure. Maybe they were hygienic reasons, or maybe they were religious reasons that these animals were used in heathen worship. But those laws applied to particular social and historic circumstances. And by Jesus' day, those circumstances had changed. And so Jesus declared all foods to be clean. And he said it wasn't the food that went into a person's stomach that was unclean, but rather it was the evil thoughts that came out of a person's hearts which are unclean. And so, in some respects, Jesus supersedes the laws of the Old Testament. But in other respects, Jesus strengthens the law of the Old Testament. And in particular, he makes God's laws apply not just to actions, but also to attitudes, to the heart. Once again, let me give you a couple of illustrations. In the sixth commandment, God's law prohibits murder. But when we turn to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his followers that they shouldn't nurse anger against someone, abuse someone, or sneer at someone, or hold grievances against someone. And so not only is murder wrong, but there are other things which come from the heart which are wrong. Jesus is applying God's law not simply to actions, but also to words and to thoughts. In the Old Testament, it was said that if you took an oath in God's name, you had to keep that oath. And so what developed was that people made very impressive promises, but because they didn't make them in God's name, they didn't always feel obliged to keep them. And so when we turn to Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was concerned that we were always true to what we said. And so Jesus simply said, when you say yes or no, then keep to your word. And so once again, we see Jesus strengthening the Old Testament law. There's a story of a 3-year-old youngster called Bobby, and his mother seated Bobby in his high chair, ready to eat. But Bobby stood up, and 3 times his mother had to reseat him in his high chair. And after the 3rd time, Bobby didn't stand up, but he looked his mother in the face and said, "Mummy, I'm still standing up inside." In the New Testament, Jesus applies God's laws to both our actions and to our attitudes. They apply to the heart as well as to what we actually do. But Jesus' greatest contribution to God's law was to summarize it in the two greatest commandments. And these two greatest commandments are as follows. The first commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment is to love our neighbour as ourselves. And then Jesus goes on to say that all the teaching of the law and the prophets hangs upon these two commandments. In Ernest Gordon's book, Miracle on the River Kwai, he tells about his experiences in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in the Second World War. And on one occasion, Ernest Gordon was put in charge of a group of prisoners who were to load a Japanese ship. And an officer from another unit came up to him and asked him for a jar of Marmite, because with its rich vitamin B, he hoped that it might save the life of a friend who was dying from beriberi. And a little while later, Ernest Gordon was told that the prisoners had found a case of Marmite. And so he quickly pushed through the crowd and he grabbed the last jar of Marmite. And he says that this was the first ever time that he'd consciously stolen anything. But the need to save someone's life took precedence over the command not to steal, and he didn't feel any pang of conscience or remorse. In my first ministry in Ilford, I was working in my study at my desk, and the phone rang, and it was one of our church members who was at the local hospital with his father, who was dying, and he asked me if I'd come to the hospital. And so I put down everything that I was doing and I went to the garage, took out my car and drove as quickly as possible to the local hospital. Now, usually I'm someone who obeys the speed limits, but on this occasion I did go well over the speed limits. As far as I was concerned, it was more important to support a son who was with his father who was dying than it was to rigidly obey the speed limits. Fortunately, I got there in time and the father was still alive, and I was able to be present with the family and to say a prayer with them. And soon after I got there, the father did die. God's laws are always true. They apply to our attitudes as well as to our actions. We should take them seriously and do our utmost to obey them. But in all our thoughts, words, and actions, the key two questions we need to ask ourselves are, am I loving God? And am I loving my neighbour as myself? Amen.